Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and we have a new guest, everyone! He is the host of The Movie Cellar. You could hear my 10 at 10, I believe that's what we call it. Yes, it's Dan Allen. Woo!
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I'm stoked to be here.
Oh, man. This is a choice that I picked. I picked this one. And I was just like, I need Dan to come on. What's a good, like, somewhat musical that we can talk about? And today we're here to talk about Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Hell yeah.
From 1982.
Yeah.
The screenplay, music, and lyrics are by Roger Waters, who is like the founder of Pink Floyd, I believe, if I read that correctly.
Yeah, bassist, lead singer, all that.
He's
yeah.
Mr. Pink Floyd himself.
Yeah, we'll get into that, right?
It was directed by Alan Parker, and according to IMDb, a confined but troubled rock star descends into madness in the midst of his physical and social isolation from everyone. Now, my question to you is that what we watched?
I guess. Yeah.
So have you seen this movie before?
I had not seen it in its entirety before. I had seen like parts of it, especially like the animated parts I had seen. And I've listened to The Wall several times, so. Right.
And you've definitely seen Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, because that was,
yes,
they pulled this out, and that was the music video for
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly.
And I remember watching it on VH1 back in the day when they used to play music videos.
Yes.
The giant meat grinder. I've seen this movie maybe once, definitely once, maybe twice before, but it's been a minute. The only thing I really remember besides Another Brick in the Wall was the goose stepping hammers.
Yeah. Wild, man. Wild.
and the cigarette with the long ash. But other than that, I don't remember any of this. And so watching this, I was just like, what did I pick?
Yeah. I was excited because, like, I think I might be a little bit older than you.
Okay.
I'm in my early 40s. And
yes,
so,
you are.
Okay. So my, like, this is my parents' stuff, right? Like, this was the stuff I grew up with, my parents being like, my parents thought they were like edgy and stuff. And this was the stuff that they were into. So it always felt like their thing to me, but it always also felt like a little rebellious. But I never really, like, I never found the opportunity to get into it. So I was excited to actually watch it and see. And I definitely see my parents in this movie. So,
well, so this is the weird thing, though, because watching this movie, it's very British.
Oh, yes.
But Britain had zero involvement in Vietnam, but it also felt very like PTSD Vietnam-y. And I was just like, somebody is working through something right now. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Roger Waters has some issues to go through.
So there's definitely, I mean, so I don't know if we're supposed to start getting into things or not, but like, because.
Let's go.
I mean, like, England didn't participate in Vietnam the same way that we did, but also we didn't participate in World War II the same way that they did, right?
That's true,
and,
yes.
And I feel that big time in this. Honestly, what this reminded me a lot of, like, the energy of it was like A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, and see, I saw another musical movie in
this. Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw Tommy.
Okay. That, yeah. I mean, that fits.
I mean, it's another band creating rock opera based off their music, and there's a lot of World War II issues.
Yeah.
Now Tommy came out like about a decade before this one.
Yeah.
So that's that, but like still I was like, what are we watching?
Yeah.
What is happening? I would love to tell you, for you to tell me what I just watched, because I read the Wikipedia plot summary and I was just like, are we sure this is it?
Yeah. I felt like whenever you listen to a rock opera, there's always like a weird, like metaphorical vibe to everything. Like it's not straightforward. And I felt like the video presentation really like met that same sort of energy.
Yeah, this is more we're arty art house, capital A art,
Yeah, big
you
art.
know.
Yep.
And
Yep.
you're like, I don't, because half the time you're like, is this a flashback? Is this a mem is this a drug-induced, you know, hallucination? Are you really Hitler? Like, those are some questions I asked throughout this movie.
Yes.
And
Yes.
apparently he's not. That is something that he came up with. It like the character Pink, quote unquote,
Yes.
he came up with that whole fascist movement.
Yeah, that was wild, man. And like, and the song that went with that, I was like, wow, this song taken out of context would sound really, really terrible.
Which one are you talking? Oh, are you talking about In the Flesh or Run Like Hell?
No, I think it's Run Like Hell, the one where he mentions the queers and the Jews,
And
and
they murder a guy who's making out with his white a black guy who's making out with his white girlfriend in the back of a car. Yeah, that happens. Oh man, what in one of the animation sequences, the one with the flowers, so obviously it's sex. One of them, I can't believe I'm about to say this. There's a few things that I wrote down that I was just like, oh, I'm about to say this on on my podcast. I wrote the vagina flower looks like Audrey 2. If you know Little Shop of Horrors, you know
Yes,
that puppet.
yep.
Like, there are moments where I was just like, sorry. I forgot that sequence. So I was like, are you gonna eat the dick? What's going on?
Yeah.
Are
They
you gonna
did a
eat the
lot of,
dick
there was a lot
flower?
of teasing of the, you know, of the, first of all, the vagina flower looked very, I would say, anatomically correct. The dick flower, I felt like, was not quite phallic enough.
Looked
Like,
more flower than dick.
yeah,
Yes.
exactly. I was a
This
little
is,
confused
and this is
by
where we're going with this conversation. Dick
that.
flowers and vagina flowers
Yeah.
and Hitler and a Hitler-like person.
Yeah, that's the wall.
Oh my God. It's been a while as well since I've listened to Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I do like this album. I think I know more Dark Side of the Moon songs than I do
Yep.
this one.
Yeah.
So it was very fascinating. I know that there's two songs that are not included from the album, and that is Hey You and The Show Must Go On.
Yeah.
Allegedly, they filmed Hey You and they were like, this doesn't fit. Let's cut it.
Which is
It
too
makes
bad
it.
because that's a killer song.
But they their excuse also was like, it's too long. And you're like,
Yeah.
it's only 1 hour and 40 minutes. Add
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. They also added songs,
Oh, they
right?
did.
I think when the tiger broke, Tigers Broke Free, I don't believe that's on the album.
You are correct. This is a new
Yeah.
song. Both parts.
Right.
It's strictly for the film. And then later on the Echoes Best of Pink Floyd album.
So
So.
you're gonna add that and then take away Hey You, which is a fantastic song.
Oh
I
my,
don't
yeah. And I feel like they said that whatever they filmed for it, they snuck it in somehow in like montage moments as well. But
know.
like, Hey You is one of the big songs from this album, if I'm not
Yes, it
mistaken.
definitely is. Yeah. I mean, I get like plot wise. I feel like, is there anybody out there covers the same sort of general material, right? Because it's like after he's built the wall and then he's like, oh shit, I kind of want to connect with people again. And I think that
Okay.
on the album they're actually like back to back. And so I guess it's a bit redundant, but I don't know. It's such a good song.
Since we're already at the end of the movie, when we get to the
Yeah.
trial and they're like, tear down the break, you have to tear down the wall and everything. I had to look up because I was just like, is this when the Berlin Wall fell? And no, it's not. My
No.
history and I are not friends. Let me just put it out there,
That's
Dan.
all right. That's all
I know
right.
we don't really know each other that well, but like, I don't want you to leave tonight thinking I'm a huge dum-dum. So
I
I'm just a
never
little
would. I
dum-dum.
never would. I only know when the Berlin Wall fell because it was during my lifetime. So
Right. Technically, it was during mine, but I was an infant. So we're gonna, but apparently they mean the emotional wall that he's built up. And I'm just sitting here like, I don't understand anything that I'm watching. Granted, I was probably a
Wait.
little too sober for this.
Yeah, so that's another interesting element of this movie is like I had always heard like you have to watch this stone. But to set your mind at ease, John, okay? I was sober. I have been sober now for 6 years. So I watched this movie stone cold sober. And quite frankly, and we can get into this later more, maybe if you'd like to, but I think this movie is about addiction and recovery.
Oh no, I totally saw that as
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
especially in that sequence when Bob Hoskins, hello Bob
Yeah,
Hoskins,
just there. Yeah, what's up?
as Pink's manager
Yeah.
comes into the hotel room that he destroyed and they have to like almost Pulp Fiction him.
Yes. Yep.
I was like, oh, he OD'd. And then it was weird because you see him leave and he gets maggots or he's decaying or something.
Yeah.
And like you clearly understand he's in withdrawal or it's a side effect of something.
Yeah. So the way I understood it is like comfortably numb is sort of the start of the addiction, right? Because that's when he's like, everything is bad and I need to not have to deal with it anymore. So I will do something to not deal with it to be comfortably numb. And then that's when shit starts getting weird and you get all the weird Nazi stuff and like the drug-induced psychosis and Run Like Hell and all that. And then you get Waiting for the Worms where like, they have to like do something to intervene.
Right. And it's so, I wish that there was a little bit more added to this because, like, the editing, although I loved it, is just so confusing.
Yeah.
There's earlier, during Mother, I
Yep.
wrote, this one's more confusing. The jump in time and the visual storytelling is all over the place because, like, it's quote unquote present day, which is, I'm assuming, is 82 as
Yeah.
well, 81,
Yeah.
82. But then we go back into his past and during World War, like right after World War II, and then there's a little more hallucinations happening. So I'm just like, what's real?
Yeah. So I did you read like the I had to read like the
I
liner
read the
notes.
I read no, I didn't read the liner notes. I read the, like I said, the Wikipedia plot summary, which
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
still like, I don't know if you're right as well with half
Yeah.
of this.
Yeah. there's a great I don't remember the resource where I found this, but it is a literal rundown of song by song and like what is
It's
supposed to be
happening.
happening plot wise. Yeah. Because I don't know how you would know otherwise. Because like Mother, for instance, is supposed to be about how his mother, so his father died in World War II, and then his mother is like smothering him in trying to like essentially just like lock him inside and like to be her little boy. And that's what Mother is supposed to be about.
Is it
Didn't
so?
you know that? Didn't you pick that up, John?
Well, so is Mother also? I literally just watched this, and I'm actively blacking it out on accident. Is Mother also when he's sick in bed? Because that happens twice in the movie, where there's a doctor who comes
Yes.
visits him.
Yes.
I believe that's Mother. So is Mother supposed to be him, like the mom poisoning him?
Yeah, so the idea being that, like, I don't know if it's like Munchausen's by proxy or something to that degree, but it's definitely like the mother, like, being overbearing and like, oh, you my poor sick boy, I have to take care of you and
Meanwhile,
all that kind of
he's
stuff.
just has the common cold
Yeah,
or something.
exactly.
Got it.
Yep.
Oh man, you and I are gonna figure this movie out this episode.
We're gonna try. We're gonna try.
I mean, but then there's other moments where like the happiest days of our lives leading into another brick in the wall where you're like, I understand this.
Yes,
This I get.
yes.
You know, we're
Yep.
not playing with metaphor, we're not playing with imagery. You know, the teacher is awful
Yes.
because he's the sub in his relationship, and like the wife is the
Yeah.
dom, and so he has to
Take
release
it
that
out on
energy out
someone.
onto the
Yep.
kids,
Yep.
unfortunately.
Yeah, that's another like I feel like that's another super British thing. We're just like, I don't know about the like, teachers being subs to their wives or whatever. But just like this whole like beat the kids into like
This was
conforming.
also the different time period as well.
Yes.
Like, I know my dad went to Catholic school with the nuns and they hit them with
Oh
the
yeah.
rulers on the
Yep.
knuckles and
Yep.
everything. So it's a thing, but it's
Yeah.
also a generational
Yes.
thing.
Yeah. I think so. I think
But
so.
also, that teacher can go fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, making fun of, like, I get it. You're the math teacher, but like making fun of poetry, like,
Yeah.
what?
But that's the whole like that's the whole meta not I don't know if it's even a metaphor, but it's the whole like concept of like school like squashing the art and creativity out of kids, you know?
Okay.
That
And
was how I took it.
well, and then also making them faceless, nameless
Yeah.
products, which
Exactly.
is what another brick in the wall basically says.
Yeah. I
Also,
really like oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, also, how can you have your pudding if you don't have your meat? Like,
That's
come on.
right. Unless you have meat pudding, then you're
Oh,
that's British, right?
whoa.
But yeah, I thought it was so. I mean, another Brick in the Wall part two is, maybe one of Pink Floyd's most well-known songs.
Yes.
But I feel like The Happiest Days of Our Lives really colors that song so much better than if, like, the song by itself is cool and like badass and great to like. Jam out to on the last day of school. But when you combine it with the happiest days of our lives, I feel like it gives it a lot more like depth, you know?
Yeah, and it also it bleeds into another brick in the wall,
It
Happiest
does,
Days, because
yeah.
like it when you are watching like the music video, or if you just skip right to another brick in the wall part two, it starts with that scream that
Yeah.
ends Happiest Days,
Yep.
and you're like you kind of need that
Yes.
for some
No.
sort of context.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just sort of a general like school sucks. But if you have a, you get a much better concept of what school sucks means from the song before it, you
So, Pink, our main our lead actor or
Yeah.
character, is played by Bob Geldof of he's another musician. He is from, hold on one second, let me find it. He is the Boomtown Rats vocalist. And so what is interesting is that in this he only sings a few times, but the rest of it, I don't know if they're saying that that the music is his thoughts
Yeah.
or something, but I know it's the Pink Floyd and everything and they're famous, but like this is the movie version of it. So like, would it be more interesting as a mu movie viewer if Bob Geldof sang the whole thing?
That would be wild, man.
Because that's also his inner voice. And we're
Right,
saying
right.
his inner voice is the lead singer of Pink Floyd.
Right. Yeah, that would be wild. I feel like there was no way that was ever gonna happen.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also reading that Roger Waters wanted to star in it, but
Yeah.
apparently he and Alan Parker were at odds
It sounds like
throughout
there
this
was a
whole
lot of
process.
being at odds during the process of making this movie.
Yeah. And so Alan Parker was just like, no, you're not going to be the lead in this movie because you're way too close to it. You wrote everything, basically. Why are you, why do you want to be the lead? Like, there's a few other things that happen with like the editing. And Alan Parker calls this basically a student film. And I don't think he's wrong.
I mean, I would call it a film made by a rock band, you know? Like
That too. Yes. Well, there's also, but there's other, I've done other movie musicals of this ilk where it's the band, like Tommy. Tommy, for example, you've seen Tommy, I'm assuming. Tommy, though, was Ken Russell's baby. So Ken Russell, at least, was able to hone in those actors, quote unquote. But like, it's still their story. And I feel like that was a little more successful than this one.
Do you think it's because someone else who was a filmmaker was more creatively involved and
Oh,
like, you know, took the
yes.
reins?
Oh, yeah. Or there was a little more collaborative effort, it feels like. Whereas this one, they were like, we are creating art. We're going to let the music speak for itself. And it's like, no, this is a movie. You need something else.
If you want the music to speak for itself, just let people buy the album. Like, why make a movie, right?
Yeah, and The Wall came out like 3 years, the
The
album
album.
came out like 3 years before the movie. So it makes me wonder. Now I know you don't not gonna know the answer to this, but like you can probably throw in your best guess. It makes me wonder though if like they were writing and creating the album while Roger Waters was writing the screenplay for this.
So I will say that I look like I did, you know, I wiki researched this, and it looked to me like when I was reading about the production of the album, I didn't see anything about like the plan being to make the film. But I don't know if
Oh.
that's true or not.
Well, it's kind of like this question kind of goes with Purple Rain as well, where I'm like, what happened first? Nobody knows the answer
It's a
really.
chicken and an egg, man.
Yeah, we're like, did the music happen or the idea for the movie or like, yeah, and at least with like Purple Rain, I know Prince like went away for a couple of days and came back with like five new songs. I was like, let's use these. But this, oh God. How did you feel though about the animation in this movie? Speaking of what we were talking about
I
earlier.
felt like it was very true to its time. Like there was some weird like so we've covered a couple of really, you know, like we've covered The Last Unicorn and we've covered The Hobbit, the animated Hobbit film,
Yep,
which by the way,
so have I.
most terrifying version of Gollum in the history of Lord of the Rings, but either way, this felt like that kind of animation, you know? Like
Oh,
just
like
really
Rankin and Bastic over?
Just like creepy and weird and like but I felt like it was good like in this context. Less good in children's films, but good in this context.
There's some moments. So I actually own the DVD of it. I don't know how you watch this.
VHS, my friend.
You have the VHS of
Of
it?
course I do.
And you've never seen it before?
No, I dude, I have
The full thing. So they have on the DVD, if you can look, you can see like they have
I
the
see the
flowers and
flowers,
everything
the sex
and
flowers.
the sex flowers. Yeah. And there's just some things in this that, you know, they're trying to be very subtle with their metaphors. But like also, like when that judge shows up at the end, where it's all face and skinny little legs with high heels on, I'm just like, what is this with a big dumpy butt? Like,
He's got a dump truck.
what is happening here?
That was weird. But
Yeah,
also kind of fun. I don't know.
but like, in Goodbye Blue Sky, when they you know, use the World War II imagery of like the Black Hawk or whatever the bird is, the Nazi bird, and that turns into like a plane, and you know, it kind of goes into the Blitz and everything. I was like, I understand all of this. I like this. This is great. I also really enjoyed, I don't remember which number, which song it was, but like when the shadow lady tried to attack him.
Yes. I
Yeah,
don't remember what song that was like either.
that was pretty cool. But then you get like the skeletons who a skeleton who dies, but then like comes back as a ghost, and then it turns into, and I was just like, what are we doing?
Now, is that a like a problem with the animation or just a problem with like
Oh, the animation was fine. It was very spooky. I think I felt what they wanted me to feel during it. So mission accomplished, but I was also very confused about the storytelling that was happening. That more so than like a critique on the style itself. It was pretty interesting, you know, it was very adult. I haven't seen heavy metal, but it kind of, I've seen that South Park episode where they make fun of it, so it kind of felt of that world as well.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It was, oh man.
Yeah.
So I had a stray thought right before Pink puts the bullet on the train track. Remember that moment in
Yes. Yep.
the like kind of the beginning?
Yep.
There's one of his friends like falls down the hill and they pick him up and everything. And I was just like, that poor kid. I really hope that was just an accident and they didn't make him do that multiple times.
Like get Stanley Kubrick in there and be like, do that
Do
200
that
times.
72 times and you're not crying enough.
That's right.
Well, I kind of also I want to go back to Bob Geldof. This was also his first foray into acting. How do you feel like he did as a movie, as like a movie watcher? I know you're not like big into acting or something like that, but like as somebody who's has a podcast on movies.
I felt like, yeah, man, I don't know. It felt like a student film, right? I heard that you said that at one point, right? Like he felt like a student film actor. Like, I don't know. He didn't blow me out of the water. I thought
No.
it was interesting to me that they brought in somebody outside instead of using Roger Waters, and then they didn't bring in somebody who seemed like they really knew what they were doing.
Because also Roger Waters is not an actor either. Like this would have been his first role as well. They should have gotten an actor.
Right? It's like if you're going to use a musician who's not an actor, why not use the guy who's like who made all this and voices all this? And if you feel like he can't do it, then why don't you bring in an actual actor instead of just another musician who has never acted?
Right. Like there's to kind of even tie it again to Tommy. There's an actor who he plays Cousin Kevin in the movie. He's a musical theater actor, so he can sing and act. So Paul Thomas is his name, and like you could have cast him. You could have went to the West End and was like, who's free?
I mean, you can find actors. They're like, you know,
They're
they're in by
everywhere.
the dozen, right?
I live in New York. They're everywhere.
I
Everywhere.
mean, look, George A. Romero did it, and he was in friggin', you know, Pittsburgh. So, yeah, what do you,
You
there's actors. You can hire actors.
can find actors.
But anyway, that was my thought. Did you think he was good?
I don't know. Because there wasn't really a lot there. I did read though that like he really did cry in that one scene with the groupie, the American groupie and everything.
Where he was in like the hotel room
Yeah, right, like right before
and
he
like losing
destroyed
his
it.
shit. Yeah.
But it's such a derpy character. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
character itself is weak because
Yeah.
Like, I'm more interested in the younger one, you know, the flashbacks, because he's very active and looks nothing like Bob. Like Bob Geldof, he looks nothing like him. But he was more engaging for me. It's just that Pink, when he's an adult, is a musician and is depressed. And I'm like, that's it? Like, we don't, and maybe on drugs.
Yeah, that was the same kind of feeling I had, is like, I thought this was some like going to be some profound story about human experience, not a rich person who has everything, rich, famous person who has everything they could ever want, bitching about, you know, being disconnected from other people. Like, I don't relate to that. I'm sorry.
And also, the woman that he kind of is forced to marry is cheating on him. Like, okay. I mean, you watch that wedding and you're like, you're not really into this either. I mean, I get it. You're very upset that you grew up with a mom who is kind of smothering and everything, but like, now you're an adult. You can live your fucking life however you want.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. Like, I didn't find the character very relatable. I think it's interesting that, like, I agree as far as when he's young, there's a much more, like, there's something there to connect to more. And I think because that's when he is actually like a normal person, right? Like, before he makes this pivot into like being a superstar, that it's like, dude, go cry in your piles of money. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, I can't relate to this at all.
It's also weird that, like, if they are trying to make commentary on substance abuse and everything like that, you don't see anything. You just see him with his cigarettes that is just full ash.
That's
Like,
true. That's true. I feel like, though, what's the song where there's all the needles and there's like all the injecting and stuff?
I don't remember.
Was that? Yeah. I feel like it was in Comfortably Numb. I feel like is when they're it, I feel like he's encouraged to like take something to like calm him down.
Oh, that's,
And
but that's the, no, that's,
I
Perfectly
might.
Numb, I believe, is the one where they inject him with something to like wake him up a little bit.
Okay.
And that's the one
Okay.
where he starts like his whole body is melting, and at the end he rips apart his skin and turns into the Nazi cult leader.
Okay. Yes. Yep. Yep. I think you're right.
Esque person personality.
Yeah.
I did read though that like also he was just supposed to shave his eyebrows, but then he took it one step further and shaved his body.
Why? He was clothed. Method. He just wanted to go method on it.
Well, it's kind of like Barry Keoghan in Saltburn, where he fucks the grave.
I guess so.
When I read it, I was just like, yeah, but at least in Saltburn, Barry Keoghan is like, there's a reasoning behind it. I don't, and like, when you see Pink come out of the bathroom and everything, and he's all like cut up because his eyebrows. Also, I think Bob Geldof actually cut his chest because that you see it bleed at points. And I'm like, that's real. You did that. That happened and you caught it on film. But then he comes out and like his hair is not that short. I was expecting him
I
to be like
know.
completely bald.
I know. I made a note of that. I was like, he shaved and shaved his eyebrows, but his hair is
But
not
then buzzed his
shaved.
hair.
Yeah, like he did not do that with a straight blade razor. Like, I don't know what they're trying to sell here.
I was a little cringy when he took the razor out of the
And broken in
holder and
half.
broke it in half. I was just like, oh no, I don't know what, I don't know what's happening.
Dude, I was like borderline body horror. I was like, this is not, I'm not in this movie for this kind of shit. Like, or when he like breaks the glass. First of all, what hotel has glass on like a 25th floor or something, right?
I have no idea.
But then he like jams his hands into the glass to hold himself up there, and he's that wasn't quite as bad, because like it didn't look real. But when he breaks the razor in his hand, that was like,
That was real.
yeah.
You've seen a lot of movies and birth of film until maybe mid-80s. Like, they're doing the things.
I
Unless
mean,
it's like really bad green screen, whatever from the early days, they're actually doing everything.
yeah, and like a lot of films, if they have, you know, like Dawn of the Dead or something like that, where they have like they're doing effects, it's big and like, you know, like something's head getting chopped off or something, not a close up of like a hand with a razor blade in it. Like you, there's not a really good way to fake that, you
Because that
know?
also brings in like suicide
Yeah,
or
yes.
other thoughts that are going to happen. You're like, what, where are we going? Oh, you're just shaving your eyebrows with half a razor?
Why'd you have to, why'd you A, have to take it out of the handle
Yeah,
and
and
B, break it in half? One for each eyebrow, you know?
I mean, I know he had to shave everything because like that's also something that when you're doing a movie, like you can fake a buzz haircut, but it always is
Yeah.
going to look bad.
It is. Yep.
Hello, Furiosa. I'm
Yeah.
calling you out. That was
Wow. Wow.
bad at the end. That was a bad wig. But like, yeah, so you know he you can see him actually shaving his chest hair on film, but like off camera, he clearly had to get his eyebrows shaved off. And everything. Oh God. Poor
Yeah, dude.
guy.
What I mean, would you be willing to do that for a movie? Shave your eyebrows?
Depends on how much they're gonna pay
Yeah,
me.
I guess that's fair. That's fair.
But
But
then
man.
also, like, you don't real you have some time after this. If we're talking like modern day movies, you have time after you're done filming, so you can go into isolation and like
True. Grow your
stay in
eyebrows
your
back.
house or wear big glasses and you know and everything and wait for
Yeah.
them to grow back.
I mean,
And then by the time a movie comes out, you have eyebrows again.
I have a kid who's very good at drawing eyebrows, so that they could help me out anyway, so I'd be
Are
all
they
set.
the big pointy eyebrows?
You know, it depends on the day. They like
Yeah, of
to
course,
do, you know,
yeah.
they like to do all kinds of different eyebrows.
Oh my goodness. This movie is so wild. But
Yeah.
like, so I before we started recording, you said that you're not big into musicals. You've seen
Yeah.
them, but you're not
Yeah.
me, basically.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
watching this, would we even call this a musical?
I mean, I would call this a music video for an album. Like, that's what it felt
Yes.
like. It just felt like a very extended music video.
Because
Like, there was hardly any dialogue, right?
right, yeah, and Pink has only one spoken line of dialogue, and that
Yeah.
is like "get out, you fuckers" or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's very few musical-y moments, I will say, like people lip-syncing on screen.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, I know that in a lot of genres, there are, you know, like in zombie movies, there you have to have a mall scene, you know, different genres have different tropes. And I assume that musicals also have a certain set of tropes that you typically see. Are any of them in this movie?
Ooh, the issue is that we're watching what you said. We're just watching a string of music videos
Right,
put
exactly.
together.
Yep.
So the action follows the lyrics in some
Yeah.
instances, but it doesn't inform the action, it feels
Yeah.
like. Because usually when you a musical is defined when like you know, a character has so much emotion and so much to say that they can't just speak it, they have to sing it.
Okay, yep.
And so there are kind of some moments in this, but like, I don't think there's enough of that in
Yeah.
this because a lot of the music is, it feels like it's in Pink's head. You
Yep.
know, it's not
Yep.
real. He sings as somebody who's pl as a musician playing a musician, he sings
Yeah.
very little in this.
Yeah, right.
And when he does sing, half the time he's that Hitler cult leader. So
yes. Yeah.
I don't know what's real.
Yeah.
So I'm a little on the fence of calling this actually a musical movie, even though everywhere else is saying this is a musical. I don't know the answer to this one. I mean, I may have to refer to other people or the good listeners listening to this episode. If you write in, you know, the socials, I'm going to say it at the end, but yeah, I don't, this one was tough.
Yeah. But and it was one of your picks.
Well, it was one of my picks. It was one of my picks. Cause I was just like, let's do it. You know, fuck it. There's a few movies I've done in here that are clearly not musicals.
Yeah.
This one is one of those where I'm like, I don't. And also part of me was a little afraid to rewatch this. Cause I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought it was going to be more horrific, more body horror, more something.
Yeah.
And then I watched it. I'm like, oh, what was I afraid of?
Yeah.
I just remember like the kind of grotesque art that happens with it.
Yeah.
And also the trippy nature. But I was like, we're fine. I mean,
it's so funny because I went into it also with a certain set of expectations that it didn't meet. But like, to me, it's like when you were talking about it being trippy, that was the thing. I was like, this is going to be really like and in some ways it is very convoluted, but in other ways it's very straightforward. Like, it's not even a complicated story, right? It's just this dude is unhappy and unfulfilled and has blocked out the world and then does, like, you know, does drugs to try to fix it. That doesn't fix it. And then he has to break down the wall. Like, that's not, you didn't come up with something that's like profound. I guess that's it. Like, I thought, like, it would
when
be
you boil it down.
It
wasn't.
Yeah. It's very basic when you boil it down. It's like, you have to connect with people. Like, well, yeah. Congratulations.
Right, but then you throw in dick flowers.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Well, that's the thing, right? If you make it weird enough, then it makes your message, which isn't actually that weird or interesting, feel more weird and interesting because you've muddled it up so much with all this like weird artistic stuff. That's really just, at the end of the day, it's like you've closed everyone out because you had childhood trauma and now you have to like get over that.
But like, and also he was an infant.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're saying, that he,
when his dad died.
When his dad died, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then also the mom being
the mom and the school, you know.
Yeah. But like, everyone has issues with their kids, you know. So
and none of that's to say that it's not a thing worth saying. It's just, I don't know. It's just sometimes you just want to, like, you're doing too much.
Yeah, again, Roger Waters was going through something.
Yeah, right.
And exactly. You can tell, because I mean, I did look him up a little. I kind of read his Wikipedia page, and it said that his dad was in World War II.
Yeah,
during the Battle of Anzio, which is where Pink's father dies But it doesn't say that his dad died. Roger Waters' dad died.
Interesting. That's very
interesting. No, he did. I lied. Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, so it's weird. I don't know. Yeah, he died. Roger Waters' dad died when he was 5 months old, it looks like.
Well,
at the Battle of Anzio. So like, I guess this is also semi-autobiographical, which make that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like they needed a little more percolating with this. If Roger Waters did not write the screenplay as well, maybe that would have helped.
I think that's a big point. Like, you know, to what you were saying about Tommy, you know, it's like bring in a filmmaker to make the film.
Yeah.
You know, like the smartest and like most artistic and like creative people who are successful understand they're not good at everything, right? And it's like, dude, you write great music that is very,
That's your job.
yeah, do that. And if you have this vision, like, that's awesome. Bring in the people who can realize that vision in a way that you probably couldn't. But and that then it would maybe lose some of its luster. Who knows? Because like there's something uniquely cultish about this movie that maybe you wouldn't get if it was more polished.
Like Purple Rain as well. Prince is not an actor by any means, but you could tell that everyone's having fun on that set.
Yeah. I mean, it's Prince. Come on,
It's
you
Prince,
know?
and they're
Yeah.
basically singing his music.
Yeah.
But they're having fun. It was a little bit collaborative and everything. And this is something. But is
Yes.
there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
In the trial, actually in a few songs, but particularly in the trial, did you feel like the vocals sounded like Jack Skellington?
Well, the trial was weird because it was only one voice.
Yes, yeah. But
So, yeah, when he's affecting his voice to be the other characters, I guess I will say
like the
that, yeah.
cadence and every like listen to it again with that in mind, because
What's
like
this? What's this? It's magic
exact
in
dude, it's like
the air.
it's got a very like I looked it up because I was like, who does all the Jack Skellington? I knew, but
Danny
like I was,
Elfman.
yeah, it's Danny Elfman, but I was like this sounds so weirdly similar, and like just the whole vibe of it. But anyway, I had to get that out. Also, the one other thing I want to get out before we move on is the first line of the first song is "We came in," and the last line of the last song is "Isn't this where?" Because apparently it's supposed to be cyclical, which is very depressing, right? Like
Yeah, and apparently that's how, ooh, I think it was Roger Waters, and like the commentary track ends the commentary track with
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Is this where we
That's
come in?
yeah, that's very depressing. You know, like if you view this as like
Yes.
a story of like childhood trauma and depression that leads to addiction that eventually leads to recovery, this element of it kind of defeats that whole message, right? Because it's just like, all right, back through it again. But
We're going back into depression, everyone.
exactly. Let's circle back through. But yeah. Those were the only notes we didn't cover.
Unless it's more about mental illness
Yes,
and like
yes.
how mental illness is cyclic.
Yep, it
Oh,
is.
did we actually figure this movie out?
Maybe we figured out,
We
maybe
figured
we
some
figured
things
out all
out.
his problems.
All
Let's
right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall
do
we?
it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. Mine are pretty even, but do you have more flats or sharps, or what do you
I
want to
mean,
start with?
I have one of each, so
Oh,
yeah.
okay. Well, let's start with flats, just because let's end on a high note.
Okay,
More
okay.
puns.
Yeah.
What is
Yeah.
your flat?
So it's not a particular, it's a portion of the movie.
Just.
It's kind of like around from another Brick in the Wall part two, like basically as that wraps up. Until like maybe I don't know, it's over the next several songs. It feels like I'm listening to a jam band, and for me personally, I hate jam bands. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of Grateful Dead fans out there and Fish fans out there. I am not one of them. It's like the music, it just like drones on, and that part of the movie feels like it drones on, and like it doesn't have, to me, it doesn't feel like it has significant like points of inflection or interest, and it's just like you're just slogging through it like you're listening to a jam band.
Okay. So I had three flats. My first flat is for how much they borrowed from Tommy.
Okay, yep.
Because Tommy has a lot of like cult themes, like cult, not like a cult
Yes, not
classic,
cult classic. Yeah.
like Jonestown.
Yep.
There was the whole like, Tommy is a concept album from The
Yep.
Who. This
Yep.
The Wall, I don't think is a concept album by any means.
It's a rock opera.
It's
I
a
don't.
rock opera. Okay.
Yeah.
Is
I
my other
mean,
my yeah.
the album just tells the same story that the film tells. So I don't know if that makes it a concept album or not, but
Oh no, it
it does
does.
tell a story.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was a story album or whatever, but it just felt weird, this movie, and I
Yep.
couldn't really follow it.
Yeah, yep.
Which leads into my next flat, which is that this film is too art house.
Yeah.
It want I'm being nice calling it an art house film. You
Yeah,
know, it feels like it's trying too hard, and it
yeah.
shouldn't try this hard.
Yeah.
And
It's
then
very masturbatory.
yes. And then my last flat is that there's not too many other voices singing in this. It's only Roger Waters and Bob Geldof. I mean, yes, there are moments when you have the larger ensemble in that scene
Yeah,
singing,
right.
but like, I don't know, maybe the mom can have a song,
Right.
or like, you know, kind of turn this into other musicals based off of bands' music where like people are singing, you know?
Right. Then it's a musical and
It's a
not
real
just a
musical,
bunch of music
yes.
videos. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, basically that's my flat.
Yep.
All right, let's get into sharps. What is your
Okay.
sharp?
Now, you this is interesting because we talked about this earlier, but I loved the trial. I loved the song. I loved the animation of it. I loved the big, fat, weird judge. Like, I loved all the energy of that moment. And so that was a sharp to me.
Well, see, when I wrote my last flat about the other voices,
Yeah.
that's when I did it
Yeah,
because
okay.
it is only Roger Waters singing the different
Yes.
parts. And I was like, have the other people
Yeah.
sing. This is a movie. You know, we
Yeah.
can do it. You could do it
Yeah.
on your album too, but
Yep.
this is a different genre. You know, you gotta do it.
Yep. Yep.
Do you have any other sharps? No, you said one.
I did have one other one. But now I'm trying to remember. I didn't write this one down. But
How dare.
you go. You go.
So
Yeah.
my first sharp, as much as it is confusing, I did like the editing of this movie. It
Yeah.
was like the match cuts were great. Finishing whichever one was the dad dying at the war, and then jumping to the mom laying out sunning herself. I was like,
Yeah.
this is
Yeah.
very well done.
Yep.
I also sharped the tracking shot from the Mickey watch to the cigarette. That
Yeah.
was awesome.
Yeah,
I
that was
wish
really
there was
good.
more like that in
Yep.
this.
Yep. Yep.
I also sharped the older women shoplifting from the broken store window because
Yeah.
I laughed my ass off when that happened. And then my
Damn the
last,
man.
damn them. Well, and it's funny because, like, you know, those people are getting arrested and they just are like, well, we're just going to take this while the police are busy.
Yeah,
And then my last sharp is for Another Brick in the Wall Part Two.
Yeah.
I like everything about it, you know, because that is a music video that is burned into my memory.
Yep. No, that's a great one. Yeah, that was actually the other sharp that I had. I remembered it while you were talking, was and this is probably weird, but the whole like Hitler scene, like
Which one?
where he's standing in front of everybody and he's like shouting, you know, like he's like giving the speech,
In
you know,
run
but
like in the flesh or Run Like Hell?
I think
Or
it's Run Like Hell.
okay.
Yeah. Where, you know, the one where he mentions the queers and the Jews and
Yeah.
all that. I like not obviously not that I like Hitler. I don't think I should need to clarify that, but I just thought it was a well-executed scene and it had a great energy to it, especially coming off of some like more somber stuff.
Yeah,
So
because this is when the movie decided to wake up.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, well, based on my flat of the jam band, like droning, like this was a real like punch after all that. So
What's fascinating too is that I think I read that they hired some actual skinheads to be extras, and then people took the hammers literally, and they were like, no, we're supposed to be anti-fascist here. This is anti-fascism. Ah!
That's the thing you always have to be careful about, right? When you're saying something like ironically, like don't
Right.
accidentally end up doing the thing.
Right. So usually I end it by asking if we would add any of the songs to our life's playlist, but I think I want to change it, and I'm gonna do that on the fly for you. So I
I
hope
love
you
it.
didn't write a list down that we're now going to ignore.
Nah, I mean, go
Are there any songs on this album? We're including When the Tigers Broke Free, and then I may as well include the other two songs that were cut. Are there any songs on this album that you would skip?
that I would skip.
Yeah. So, like, you're listening to it, you're driving, you're making dinner, whatever, you're prepping for another episode of your podcast,
Yeah.
and you're listening, you're just jamming out to this. Is there a song that you think you would skip?
I mean,
You
yeah,
can
that
say no.
yeah, no, there is though. Like that middle part, like What Shall We Do Now, Young Lust, One of My Turns, Don't Leave Me Now. Like that whole section was just forgettable to me. So, you know.
See, I don't know. I think I would like this more as the album
Yeah.
than whatever we just watched.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I think
So I
that's
don't
fair.
think I would skip any,
Okay.
just so I can take in the album.
Yep, that's fair. And you need it all. You honestly like to tell the story, like especially when you read about like how like what it like how it drives forward, you really like there's not a lot of songs that are not necessary. Like I think we did talk a little bit about like what song did we talk about at the beginning that they cut?
Hey there.
Hey You,
Hey
right?
you, yes.
Yeah. So that song is a little redundant with Is There Anybody Out There? So, but they're both such good songs, I would never skip either of them. So,
Right.
you know, yeah.
Well, on that note, Dan, we did
Yeah,
it.
we did. We
We
did do
did
it.
do the episode.
Yeah.
Yay. What do you have to plug or promote?
Well, if anybody wants to come check out my podcast, it's The Movie Seller. Every Friday we release an episode about it's called Free Fridays, where it's just free shit that you can go consume on Tubi. And I also like to promote other podcasts on there and like what they're released that week.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, because you know, we're all out there doing the thing. So
Yeah.
And I love free shit, so I like to share free shit with other people. I've even been doing like free, like if I find free books, I'll mention those.
Huh.
So yeah, we also do once a month, we do Metal Mondays where I talk about metal because even though I'm a movie podcast, I love metal. So it's my
It.
show and I do whatever the hell I want, you know?
So have you done tin and nickel
You know,
and
we're getting there. We're getting there. We start with aluminum and copper, you know?
Oh, you started big.
You know, you got to, you got
No,
to.
but
But
you talk
then,
about bands, I'm assuming, like,
yeah, like
is it
heavy
one
music.
band or
No,
is
we just talk
it?
about heavy music. Generally, it's a couple albums that have come out in the last month, and then a couple albums I'm excited about coming out in the next month, and then what a story that I consider to be metal from like the real world, just where somebody did something cool.
Okay,
Yeah,
yeah.
and then whenever we get people willing to do it, we do our 10 at 10s where we have people come in and talk about the movies that they like. And we have like a little quiz, not quiz, but like a rundown of
Little
questions.
questionnaire, yeah.
Yeah, that are very simple but very complicated. Would you agree?
Yeah, because I really
Yeah.
thought about a lot of them where I'm
Yeah.
like, okay, so if I answer this way, do I come off as an idiot? Or do I say this to one? I love Voyage of the Rock Aliens. I have to mention
Yes,
that at
yes.
some point.
Yours was
Because
great because I added a bunch of stuff to my list from yours.
Did you watch Voyage of the Rock Aliens
I
yet?
have not yet. I have not yet. I
Oh!
know, but it is on my list, so that it will happen.
Listen, if you want to do an episode on one of your podcasts
All
about
right.
it, I
All
am
right.
ready to
I
talk about
love it.
that movie.
All right, that sounds good, man. That sounds good. But yeah, that's what we do. Also, if anyone's listening and you want to be on the 10 at 10, like this is not exclusive to any subset of people. Anybody who likes movies is welcome to come through.
Obviously, I answered a post, right? It
You
was
did.
a it wasn't a story. It was an Instagram post that you
Yeah, it's
had
an
where you're
Instagram
like,
post. Just,
who wants to come on?
yeah, who wants to come hang out? I just love hearing different opinions. You know, like I've had horror podcasters on. I've had people who aren't even podcasters on. I've had my friggin' kids on, you know, just like
That is
anybody. Yeah.
adorable.
Well, these are older kids. They're assholes sometimes, but
It's still adorable that you're bringing your family into it.
yeah.
And if you can make sense out of this movie, I'd love to hear about it. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. How do you, would this, should they have done a different album? You know, I'm asking the listening audience, but Dan, do you think like they should have done a different album as like a movie?
A different Pink Floyd album?
Yeah. Like, is
I
there a
mean,
stronger one that you think that would have been better as a.
this feels like it was written as a story, so it feels like it's the best fit, but
Okay. I'm just spitballing. I like to ask questions at the end that nobody answers.
I love
So,
that. Well, there you go. That's my answer.
well, so.
No.
And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, I guess I picked a theme for these two episodes because we're going to be talking about Can't Stop the Music, which is the Village People musical movie.
I'm excited to listen to that.
Oh, I'm excited to talk about it. We haven't recorded that one yet.
Yes,
Well,
nice.
Dan, thank you for letting me harass you to come on finally.
No, this is awesome, man. Thank you for having me come through. I had a good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome to come back anytime.
You know that movie we talked about? We got to do that.
I forgot which one we talked about. You're gonna have to
Well,
remind me off
cover it
air.
off air. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and bye for now. Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.